And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, July 31st. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I am Kevin, here with Darren only tonight. Gino is not with us tonight. He's on assignment covering the swimming at the Aquatic Center and maybe looking to replace Rowdy Gaines, who can be obnoxious at times, I think. We'll get into that later. Please subscribe and listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts and follow us on Facebook. We want to hear from you, so send us any of your comments and questions, and we'll be sure to answer them. Tonight, the end of July, and hopefully the end of the summer sports doldrums. Football is around the corner, and training camps are in full swing. The Olympics are going on right now. The U.S. is leading the way to medal count, though not too many golds yet. But we'll start tonight with Major League Baseball trade deadline. It was a very active trade deadline with some 40 or so trades in the last week. Darren, how are you tonight? And any immediate thoughts on the trade deadline?
Well, I'll jump into the Yanks. I'll let you jump into the Mets. I mean, listen, it was very active. And there were some deals that – there were teams that bought and sold at the same time, which was always interesting. Philly kind of did that. Seattle did that a little bit. It was like, okay, we just got a better reliever, so we're going to deal these relievers to try to get some prospects back. There were some pretty cool things that happened overall. The Yankees made – the biggest splash was when they got Chisholm, obviously. And he's been paying dividends already. Outside of that, you know, Leiter and De Los Santos being guys out of the pen that they're really kind of banking on are, you know, much needed. Because if you watch Clay Holmes close games out, it just scares the hell out of you. I would have loved for to see them try to get a ninth inning guy. They did not make the move. The Phillies made that move and got Estevez. And the Padres made that move getting Tanner Scott. Outside of that, the ninth inning guys pretty much stayed put. The other big thing I noticed about the trade deadline was the big arms, you know, the guys you heard about, Scooball, as I called him, Scooball last week. I made fun of by Gino. The kid in San Francisco, why am I blanking on his name, the lefty? Why am I blanking all of a sudden?
Blake Snell.
Blake Snell, not dealt. I mean, so we saw a lot of the big names that people were rumoring to go, but they did not. And obviously, Crochet in Chicago probably being the most popular of the three names. Kev, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, how much of you mentioned Crochet at the end there, I was going to bring him up. How much of his stuff, you know, this guy coming back from Tommy John, pitched 12 innings last year, and you know, the White Sox made him a starter. We don't know what sort of innings limits he's on this year. You know, we always know we've heard, you know, the precautionary tale probably is Strasburg,
yep,
probably the biggest one. And all of a sudden, you know, even though he's got 2 or 3 years remaining before, you know, free agency, I'm not pitching in October unless they get an extension. Who the hell are you to demand that?
Yeah, nobody. Nobody even knew who you were going into the year. I mean, outside of the White Sox fans and fantasy people that were looking for guys that get more than a strikeout per inning. That's who knew who he was.
Yeah.
Not a household guy.
I mean, so once his agent's bringing that stuff up, it's like, if you're a team, are you trading for him? I mean, we saw some of the prices for some of these other starters. And like I said, I can only imagine what the Tigers are looking for Scooball. Like, you know, what were the White Sox asking for Crochet?
To think Scooball's better than Crochet. In my opinion, Scooball's a more proven quantity. And he's actually a guy that you have under team control for a couple more years. So you kind of like this, you know, Scooball. I actually, as a Detroit fan, I'm not, which we're not, either one of us are. I kind of like what they did and the fact that they dealt some extra pieces around, but they picked up some more youth and they kept the real core of their young team, because that's a division that's gettable.
I hate trading. You know, I understand the Tigers are rebuilding, but for somebody like them to go out, and they've got this really terrific young pitcher in Scooball, who you feel like is, like you say, still a couple of years away from free agency. As they're bringing up the rest of their youth and, you know, trying to integrate some of the younger players in there, and maybe in the next year or two they'll be able to start looking at picking up a key veteran here or there at the trade deadline or in the offseason to fill in. Why would you trade Scooball? You need to have a guy that is going to be what you hope the face of the franchise for a number of years. And, you know, a kid that talented, I think the Tigers did the right thing by not trading him.
I agree. And they're not a small market team. Detroit's a big market. This is not a team that should have trouble spending money to keep their guys. Listen, I get it. The Orioles had it for years where they kept bringing up pitching prospects like Cabrera and guys like that. They couldn't get out of their own way. And, you know, they would bank on guys that would just get rocked or walk you around the ballpark. Skubal is showing that he could be that anchor. You got to hold on to him if you're Detroit. Not that we're a Detroit-based show, but I thought it was the smartest move that I saw. Again, the Crochet move, you know, just too big a mouth. You've done it once. Let's see you do it a little bit more often before you get into it. Snell is always a cautionary tale with Snell. You don't know what you're going to get. He's an often injured guy.
I've never been a big Snell guy. I know he's had two great years that won him Cy Youngs. But even in those years, he was – oh, he got up to 6 innings per start. The rest of his career, he's been a 5-and-fly guy.
Yep.
When he's healthy.
Which is not always.
I mean, I think those are the only 2 years he's pitched over 150 innings in the season.
No doubt about it. I mean, when you kind of go through it, though, Kopech was another guy that kind of a late-inning guy that also got dealt as well. So what were your thoughts about the Blackburn move? Now that you know, Kodai is gone for the year, which – he comes out once and he gets, you just can't make it up.
I mean, comes out once, pitching real well, and then tries to get out of the way of Alonso and decides to go down in a heap. It's like, oh, geez. Blackburn doesn't have a high bar to jump over. He's got to be better than Tyler McGill.
He's an all star.
Who?
Blackburn.
Blackburn? Oh, yeah. Real all star.
Household name.
Yep. Like I say, if he's better than McGill, he didn't cost him much. I mean, they got him for,
was prospect number 25. I'm blanking on the kid's name, but it was somewhere down there.
It was number 25. It wasn't one of the top guys.
Yeah.
They brought in a couple of extra relievers. You know, they brought in
three, really.
Stanek.
Yeah.
Well, they brought in Stanek. A couple of weeks ago, they brought in Maton. And then they picked up
Razaban and Zuber were the other two guys.
Razaban, yep. Razaban, he already pitched today. Zuber's got sent to the minors, but he's there for depth.
I mean, he pitched for the Royals organization a few years ago. He was only in 2 games this year with Tampa, but he has been in the majors.
Yep. So to me, you know, you're trying to find these middle relievers that you never know what you're going to get. They're looking for 20 good games from some of these guys over the next 2 months. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. If they're effective 18 of the 20 times they go out there, the Mets won the trades by far. And they've gotten themselves a chance to maybe make the playoffs here. Yeah, they're right in position right now.
They're half game out, right? You know, I mean, they're right there. The one thing that was interesting, and you just see Stearns's philosophy, is that I am not going to give away the farm that we're trying to build just yet. I'm going to wait, keep building it, and when we are one player away, you know, maybe I'll make the move. Because let's be honest, the Mets are right there, and they could easily be a playoff team, and I certainly hope they make it. The one factor about it is that you don't go into it saying, you know, the Mets are going to be the favorite to get there, because you don't feel that way because of the starting rotation. And there was nobody in that starting rotation that, outside of Skubal, if you wanted to make a move for him, he was the only guy, if I'm a Met, that I would a Mets fan or a Met ownership, that I would have made any kind of significant move for. The other guys you can't trust.
Yeah. I don't think the other guys that were moved were necessarily big enough upgrades to have to trade. You know, when you start throwing names around, they're like Clifford and Gilbert, Acuna, Jet Williams, you know, on the nine, even the younger pitchers, you know, Tidwell, Sproat. You know, these are the guys they want to hold on to. These are the guys they don't want to put in any packages right now. They still have some holes to fill coming up in the next couple of years. And I think Stearns, you know, it's funny, a month and a half ago, we all thought the Mets were going to be sellers because they were just awful. The Mets have shown in the last month and a half they're playing 660 baseball. The players did enough to show that we deserve to have some reinforcements, some additions to the team. And Stearns went out there, not household names, but added to depth. I mean, Jesse Winker.
I mean, nice
tell
player.
Me that Tell me that's not a huge improvement over DJ Stewart.
It's not even close. Jesse Winker is a professional player that can give you more in every aspect of the game right now. Maybe not exactly the raw power that Stewart can show at times. That's the only thing. But he's not going to hit 190.
Five home runs this year. I mean, come on.
I get it, but I'm just saying that. But if you look at the way that they try to swing at pitches, Stewart's trying to jack it out. That Winker's a professional hitter, so it's a nice. It's definitely a very big difference.
Yep. And, you know, all year they've been able to survive without Senga all year with their, you know, five or six inning type starters. Blackburn fits into that mold. And they picked up, like I said, a couple of extra bullpen arms who, you know, you're hoping for those 15 to 20 good games the rest of the year.
No, that's exactly it. With the Yankees, you know, it became down to lighter with the strikeouts per nine innings. Nobody in the back of that pen was getting the K in the big spot necessarily. Weaver's probably outpitched the back of his baseball card. Canely's been okay. You know, they don't have a guy in the ninth inning that you feel any confidence with in Clay Holmes because he does not strike out guys in the back in the ninth inning. And that's a major problem. Listen, he blew the game on Friday. They should have swept Boston and they should have swept Philly. But the difference between a Yankee fan today and the Yankee fan last Friday is five in a row when suddenly you feel like, wow, we're in good shape. Mets could have swept Minnesota, who's a very good team today. But they still won two out of three, and you won the series, so you move on. You also got a good start out of Quintana in that series where he went six and was pretty solid. So
Medaille last night was terrific.
Absolutely, which stuns me because he hasn't been good in like years, and all of a sudden he's putting it all together, which is great. Both local teams are really in good shape.
Well, like you say, you know, amazing when you watch or listen to the fans. You know, the Mets win the first two against Atlanta, lose the next two when Peterson McGill pitch, and all of a sudden the sky's falling. We suck. We're terrible. Atlanta's far better. We should be sellers. We need to get rid of Alonso and trade this guy and trade that guy. It's like, come on, guys. You know, you went in there. You split the four games with Atlanta. You came off winning both against the Yankees. You took two out of three from Minnesota. I mean, you know.
And you beat Sale and you beat Cole. I mean, you know, it's not like you just won some games. You beat Chris Sale, who's arguably the best pitcher in baseball this year, and you beat Gerrit Cole, who may not be Gerrit Cole yet, but he's still Gerrit Cole, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So six and three in those last nine games. Any Met fan, any reasonable Met fan before that stretch would have said, sign me up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And now we have pennant baseball for both teams. I guess we'll get into a couple of the other moves. I mean, but Jazz Chisholm, just to say, is hitting homers and doing it, playing third base, which he's never done as a professional, and doing everything right. And he's bringing his second home run of the game the other night with Aaron Judge's bat. Asked Judge if he could use his bat. Judge said, you better do something special with it. Get it a homer. And I mean, you got to like the moxie. Always kind of like Jazz Chisholm from afar, but you don't watch the Marlins play that much because they just haven't been competitive. But, you know, listen, he's another guy that's going to be up and down and streaky. But at the same point in time, he adds another bat to that lineup. And then with Stanton coming back in that lineup, Dominguez almost ready to pop back in. A lot of things happening with the Yankees where you feel good. Even DJ LeMahieu, Gino's favorite, hit a homer today. So that was good. Grand Slam.
The thing you love about Chisholm, unlike, you know, Gleyber Torres, you want to play third base? No, I'm a second baseman. Jazz. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. What the hell?
I'll play anywhere. I'll play the hot corner. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, that alone should ingratiate you to your new teammates.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
I want to go out there. I want to play. My bats want them here. And if I can do anything with the glove.
I agree. So right now, both teams are pretty healthy. You go through some of the pickups from around the league. So the Dodgers went out and got Flaherty late. All right. They made a big move and they dealt some big time prospects in that Flaherty deal, who's having a bounce back year in Detroit. They also added Kiermaier for Yarbrough. It's like one of those trades where you almost say, all right, each team traded an asset to another. Not a great asset in either way. They did what they did last year and brought back Amad Rosario again to do that late inning stuff. And they went out and got Kopech. And Tommy Edman in a three-way deal where the Cardinals helped themselves with Fetty as well. And the Dodgers got their two guys, and the White Sox just accumulating as much as they can. Because besides not trading Lewis Robert, and Crochet, there's really not much to root for in Chicago, the south side of Chicago. Any thoughts on what the Dodgers did, Kev?
I mean, you know, guys like Kiermaier, Rosario, I mean, great depth guys. You know, Rosario maybe a little bit more than just depth. But, you know, you're looking at the Dodgers' perspective. You know, they've been banged up a lot. The lineup's been so top-heavy with the top four. They needed to get some guys in there. And then the rotation, I mean, the guys are starting to get healthy with Kershaw back. Bueller should be back pretty soon here. You know, don't know about Yamamoto. So Flaherty just fits right into that rotation.
Absolutely. Frees them
up, you know, they were able to trade a guy like James Paxton to the Red Sox because, you know, Paxton did a serviceable job for what the Dodgers needed. But James Paxton was pitching far above, you know, you look at some of the other numbers there, you know, things like FIP, things like the expected averages and things like that. He's far, his traditional numbers, ERA, for example, were just far better than how he pitched.
One quick thing, joining us live from the Aquatic Center, and a lot of you don't know this, but Gino was at one point a competitive synchronized diving two-man competitor with this whole thing. And so he's giving us his updates from the Aquatic Center. Actually, I'm joking. Gino is joining us from vacation. G, how are you, my friend?
How you guys doing tonight?
Good. We're just getting rolling with baseball, my friend.
Well, I wanted to jump on, just give you 2 cents on a couple of things, and then I'm heading out. But, you know, I am disappointed in Cashman and the Yankees' lack of efforts. Chisholm is a good player. I like him. But, you know, this team is close enough that a couple of trades with a couple of these young guys should have landed a closer, should have landed a first, third bat. So another player on this team that could hit the ball. And I'm kind of disappointed. We really haven't talked about it. Darren, what do you think? You're a Yankee fan too.
We'll talk about it a little bit. I'm upset about the closer. I think Jazz, because he's playing third base, is kind of filling that role a little bit. So I'm okay with that. And, you know, obviously Stanton coming back to the lineup and maybe Dominguez. I know it's very overloaded in the outfield and we don't have a lot of guys that can play first base, but it also takes pressure off a guy like Ben Rice where they can bat him in the 8-hole or the 9-hole and not really think about it so much. Or your boy DJ who hit a grand slam today. I know how much you love DJ. You know, listen, maybe there's less pressure on him to hit too, or maybe he starts spraying the ball around again. I was really upset about the closer. I every game he gives up a run, basically, it feels like. I have a hard time watching Clay Holmes in a big spot.
You know, so the thing that kind of got me was that there were teams that unloaded some players, most notably Tampa Bay. You know, Adam was available. Jason Adam was available. From everything we heard, Fairbanks was available, didn't get traded, but was available. You know, Paredes went to the Cubs. We heard Yandy Diaz was available but didn't get traded. You know, and when you're getting this close, you know, you're going to tell me Cashman couldn't put a package together to bring Diaz and Fairbanks here? I mean, too much of this holding on to all these prospects and prospects. At some point, you need, if you're going for it, you got to take a shot.
Well, the Yankees and Mets are in different spots, right? I think we both agree. The Mets not going for it made sense. The Yankees not going for it really doesn't, because you don't know, because Soto might be a one-year wonder, right? You might only
exactly
have him in the season. That's where it makes you upset a little bit, is the fact that if you don't re-sign Soto, if you said, I'm not making these moves like Cashman said because I don't want to risk not being able to re-sign Soto, and then you don't re-sign Soto, then, you know, you got a big old matzo ball right there. You've got to find a way to be competitive this year. If you're going to tell me that they're going to sign Soto long-term and that's why they didn't make a move for Jason Adam, all right, maybe I'll buy in. It's going to be determined by what they do on the back end. But, I've been complaining about the closer situation since spring training. It's not going to stop. He's not a closer. He's a nice eighth-inning guy. Now we have a bunch of nice eighth-inning guys. We need a bunch of nice seventh inning guys, pretty much. We need someone to be emerging in the ninth inning. I mean, listen, when I'm sitting there getting excited about Mark Leita Jr. because he gets strikeouts per nine, he hasn't been fantastic. He's been okay, you know. I've seen De La
Very Santa unexcitable.
Yeah, he's not great. His ERA was 4.5 in San Diego. So I don't get too excited about this, but I understand your point, G. I think the Chisholm move was a great move. I don't like where we are at the closer position right now. That's my biggest position.
All right. Well, listen, just wanted to jump on, give you my 2 cents on the Yankees. I'll be back next week on the show.
Can anybody compete with the Chinese in that dual synchronized diving competition?
I don't think so.
I make fun of Gino a little bit, the only one of us here that's ever won a belly flop competition is really Kevin. So it doesn't really matter. I could say what I want about Gino at the Aquatic Center, but it's really Kev that pulled off the gold in his one big opportunity. So there we go.
Nothing like impressing on the honeymoon.
Gee, any comments on the Mets before we let you go?
I'm sorry?
Any comment on the Mets before we let you go back?
Listen, I think the moves they made show you exactly where they are. It's a couple of moves to try to help them along, but they're probably not in the position to either go for it or not go for it at this point. So you're going to make these middle-of-the-road moves, hope something strikes, hope the team keeps playing well. They're playing well right now. They're in a wild card spot. And you're going to go from there. I mean, I will tell you this, and we really haven't talked about it. Senga going down is horrible. Getting one inning out of, two innings out of Senga for the year is just a horrible situation for this team, because in preseason, you were counting on him coming back in late May, early June, and making a contribution. Didn't get that until July, mid to late July, and then he's gone. And, Kev, what do you think? I mean, to me, that was like the one of the worst parts of this whole thing.
To me, it wasn't like he hasn't been there all year. They've been doing well without him. So, unfortunately, he comes in 5 1/3 or 5 2/3 and pitched beautifully, shows you that he – looked like he was going to be, good for down the stretch. You lose him. Hey, they've managed all year without him. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I just think, and listen, the moves they made, I don't think made a difference based on whatever injury, Senga was going through. But, I kind of think exactly what you said, Darren. The moves they made were the moves they made. And however this lies for them. And listen, they're playing well. And you basically have gotten very little out of Alonso. Alvarez hasn't played really well. You got guys injured that are going to come back, specifically in the outfield with Marte. McNeil comes back to the pack a little bit. This team should hit enough that they should stay in this wild card race.
So, and they did pick up three arms for the pen, really four arms for the pen. And that's the difference for this team.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And listen, they have the lockdown closer the Yankees don't in Diaz. Listen, whether he's shown it enough lately or not, he is the lockdown closer. That's right. The guy where everybody's trying to get at this point. You know what I mean? So
no, absolutely. Any other trades you want to touch on before you're out?
No. I'll take a look. I'll touch on some of them next time we're on. But have a good show, guys.
All right, Jake.
Gino, out from Paris. Soon to be back in the U.S. next week. Yeah. Have a good show, guys.
We know you. We know you're auditioning to replace Rowdy Gaines.
That beret looks awesome on you, by the way. It really does. It fills the whole face. It's fantastic.
All right, I'm out.
All right, buddy. Take care. So just a couple other, moves, just to get back. The Padres, like we talked about, they got Tanner Scott. They got Martin Perez. They got Jason Adams. So they made moves, but they gave up a ton of their farm system. It seems like it's a lot. They gave up 2, 4, 5, and 24 of their prospects for Tanner Scott, who's really under for 1 year. So it's not like it's a rental. didn't make a lot of sense to me, but you know, it's AJ Preller. This is what AJ Preller does. This is all AJ Preller does, is he goes all in. And you know, listen, if you're a fan of the Padres, you love it. And then when these kids start becoming stars, you're like, what the hell is he doing? It becomes that type of scenario.
I mean, the Padres are the four minor leaguers for Scott, three minor leaguers for Adams, or Adam,
yep.
including Homer Adam, Bush Jr., yeah.
Who we all love. And his father, we know him as a Yankee, but he was a Padre too, Homer Bush.
Yep. So you know, they're going for it.
They always do.
And we'll see if Scott and Adam are enough to make a difference.
The funny part about it is because the rotation's gonna get a little healthier, and you know, Musgrove should be back soon. Darvish has some personal problems, I have family issues. I don't know what the hell that is, but they should be able to get the starting rotation, and they've hit. They've been doing it the last month and change without Tatis, waiting for him to come back. I mean, there's a lot of reinforcements coming, and tonight they knocked out Clayton Kershaw in the fourth, which doesn't happen very often. Put up seven on him in 3 2/3, which doesn't happen very often to Clayton Kershaw. So the offense is clicking, much like the Mets. You know, they seem to be getting their offense going a little bit. The Guardians went out and got Alex Cobb, you know, got another arm in there, someone that can help out. The Giants, who seemed like they were dealing, but they went out and got Kanha anyway. Mark Kanha, you know, that nice guy out there. The Red Sox went out and got Paxton, but then they got two setup guys in Luis Garcia and Lucas Sims, and then they had to catch a Danny Jansen. So the Red Sox are going for it.
Did you see the interesting thing about Danny Jansen?
Probably not, because I don't remember it. So maybe I did, but I can't place it.
So back in June, the Blue Jays and Red Sox had their game suspended in the second inning with Danny Jansen at bat for the Blue Jays.
Oh, God.
The game will be resumed late August. So we know the Blue Jays obviously need to put in a new catcher. Catching for the Red Sox in the game was I'm drawing a blank now on the backup catcher's name. But he just got released. So the Red Sox could be playing Danny Jansen, the catcher, that game. He could become the first major league player in history to play for two separate teams in one game.
In one at bat?
And one at bat, yes.
It could be that intense. That's pretty wild.
I mean, just one of those stupid little things that I was just like, wow.
No, you're right, though. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, we remember Joel Youngblood.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Hits for sides, you know, during the doubleheader. Absolutely.
It hits for two different teams in the same day in two different cities. But, you know, this would be playing for both teams in the same game.
Same game and the same. And literally, it's like the same at bat.
Could be the same at bat. Plate. Yeah.
So he's going to go into the plate behind him. He could go in behind the plate where he should be batting.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. That's a good one. Orioles kind of made a bunch of moves to get all in a little bit. They went out there. I mean, they made like that good trade with the Phillies where both teams got some something out of it, you know, so to speak, where they ended up, you know, getting Sir Anthony Dominguez and ended up dealing Austin Hayes. So that was a pretty good move. They also picked up Gregory Soto, and they got Eloy Jimenez. They got Trevor Rogers. They traded a lot. They gave up two of their top 15 or 17 prospects in that deal. So yeah, Orioles.
Norby's a big one to give up there.
Yeah, he was number six, I think, something like that.
And they also picked up Zach Eflin.
Yep, Zach Eflin came in as well. So and Slater came in also, the outfielder that was a former Giant. So they made a few moves to try to go forward as well. Arizona went out there. They picked up AJ Puke, one of always the best names of all time. They bought Floro, who's having a great year, and they picked up Josh Bell for cash, who was designated for assignment. So Arizona made their moves. Tampa, who just seems to trade and get people in and out, and you know, they went out and got Dylan Carlson, who was like a pretty big prospect for the Cardinals a couple of years back, and just hasn't been getting the playing time. Just because it's Tampa, you wouldn't be surprised if this guy finds a swing in that freaking horrible ballpark and starts doing some good things for Tampa. They dealt a lot, but they also brought in a couple of players as well. So see what happens with them. Well,
they picked up, you know, their trades of like 11 or 12 minor leaguers plus Morel when they traded Paredes.
That was a really interesting trade because they wanted Morel earlier in the year, could not get him. Then they were able to get him for Paredes, who, let's be honest, you know, Paredes has always shown some power, not much average, but nobody seems to really care about that anymore. You show power, and his average is up this year compared to last. He becomes a guy that people that was coveted. And, you know, the Cubs, who were kind of selling, went out and bought this guy as a future piece, not as something for the immediate. So, and Tampa gets their guy Morel, who they wanted to start the season. So it works out for both teams again, you know.
And then, like you mentioned, the Marlins, you know, trading, you know, Puke and Rogers and Scott and De La Cruz and Chisholm, they picked up about 12 or 13 minor leaguers as well. Absolutely. Including a couple of good ones from the Orioles. You know, you never know. I mean, none of these guys are going to be long-term for the Marlins, so what the hell?
No, and the funny thing is you sit there and you go through the minor league guys, and you sit there with Scott Kazmir's of the world and Royce Ring's of the world, and you get all these guys that are untouchable, you don't want to do anything, and they don't pan out, but then you get then you get Willie McGee for Bob Sykes, and you get John Smoltz for Doyle Alexander, and you get things like that, and you're like, shoot, I can't believe we did that for a sell for one season, and that's kind of what happens. The Phillies get Estevez, like we talked about. They got Tanner Banks, Austin Hayes. So the Phillies went and tried to shore up the back end of the bullpen, which they haven't been able to do for the last few years. That's a team that's slumping a little bit right now, but once Bryce Harper starts hitting again, you feel like the Phillies will be just fine. But right now the Mets are in shouting distance. If they can catch the Braves first, they can do a little noise in there. Pirates, you know, that we're not used to the Pirates being buyers. I mean, they do a ton, but they picked up De La Cruz, who was a outfielder from Florida, so it was Miami, whatever we call him now. They picked up a couple other relievers that don't really have a lot to them with ERAs in like the fives and stuff, but you're not used to the Pirates being buyers at this point in the season, so it's nice to see, Kev, right?
And your favorite ex-Yankee, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa?
Yeah, but they picked up IKF, you know. Whatever.
Yep.
The Twins went out and got Trevor Richards from Toronto, and Toronto was a big time seller during this as well. And
they
got rid of everybody. Seattle picked up Justin Turner and Yimi Garcia, Chorjois, and then they picked up a Rosarena, who was one of the more interesting things. So Rosarena was traded on Thursday. He was reporting on Saturday. On Friday, he sat in the Randy section, or whatever they call it. I forget what it was, Randy Zone, with the fans to thank them for a few innings. So he sat out there with the fans, which I thought was a really nice touch. A guy that kind of gets it, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That he had a zone out there, and all those fans were Randy fans, and he went out there and sat with them. And you don't hear about that too often from professional athletes, so I thought that was a pretty good move as well. And Seattle, you know, made a couple of moves both ways, but these are the moves that you're trying to make when you're going forward as well. Kansas City gets DeJong and Urshich they got from Oakland, but they gave up a couple of really big prospects for that. And they picked up Michael Lorenzen and Hunter Harvey. So they tried to shore up their starter and rotate and the bullpen for this run. They're tied with the Twins, and they're in the playoffs right now. So the Royals also, just like the Pirates, are making a little bit of a push, Kev.
Yep.
Houston gets Kikuchi and Caleb Ferguson. Kikuchi cost them the 9 and 13 prospects that they have. So, again, pretty good haul in that respect by Toronto. Atlanta goes out and gets Rosario a few weeks ago, and then they bring back Soler, the same guys that replaced Acuna last time they went to the World Series. So we'll see what happens there.
And bringing back Luke Jackson. They were trying to rebuild that 2021 team.
And they're doing everything they possibly can. Milwaukee brings back the exciting Montas, who, you know, as Yankee fans know, he's a great, great guy to bring in late in the season. And they had also already picked up Aaron Savali earlier. They picked up a guy named Nick Mears, who's like a 5 ERA guy in Colorado, but does get a lot of strikeouts. One of the more interesting trades, Kev, Cleveland getting Lane Thomas. Thought that was an interesting move. Guy that's, you know, kind of in the, you know, I guess he's the ascending part of his career. He's not in the heart of it yet, but he's getting close to it.
Yep.
I thought it was a pretty good move for Cleveland. Thoughts on that one?
Well, Cleveland needed outfield help desperately. So, you know, that's a great trade for Lane Thomas. I mean, you look at their numbers they've put up in right field, for example. I think they were like 26th or 27th in the major leagues in OPS. So Lane Thomas, huge pickup for them.
I don't think he'll run as much in Cleveland as he was in Washington. He had 28 stolen bases, but was also caught a league high 12 times so far.
Yeah.
Let's see. We talked about Paredes for Morel, and then Cincinnati picked up Ty France. You know, again, Cincinnati not really a buyer, but I guess they get themselves another professional bat out there. You know, whatever. They're trying to stay relevant, I guess, with little moves like that. Was there anything else that I missed that you want to touch on, Kev?
I think we've covered them pretty darn well.
All right. Good enough. Good enough. Just a little bit about baseball right now. The Orioles still leading the Yanks by a half game. Yankees have won 5 in a row, which makes it a little more exciting to watch them lately. The Guardians lead by 6 over the Twins and the Royals. And Seattle is retaking Houston by a half game at this point. In the National League, the Phillies lead the Braves by 6.5 and the Mets by 8. Milwaukee leads St. Louis by 5 and Pittsburgh by 5.5. And the Dodgers lead Arizona and San Diego by 5.5. Wild card right now, Yankees, Twins, and Royals on top with Boston 2.5 back, Houston 4 back, and Tampa Bay, who was a seller, only 4.5 out of the wild card. And in the National League, Braves, Diamondbacks, and Padres would have the wild card spots right now with the Mets half game back, Cards 1.5, and Pirates 2. So we have a lot of teams in the hunt here, and hopefully we can see some really exciting baseball down the stretch, Kev.
Yep.
Anything all right. Else you need for baseball?
That's it for baseball for me.
Good enough. Good enough.
Well, football, that's right around the corner. Like we said in the opening, the training camps are in session. You know, Darren and I are probably just keen on the Jets right now, being huge Jet fans. Still waiting for Hassan Reddick to get in there. He's still holding out. The big news with Saleh saying that Rodgers is very unlikely to play at all in the preseason. I don't know, Darren. I'd like to see him get in there in that last game, even a series or two. Just get in there.
I always think back, and this is going to sound stupid, to Neil O'Donnell when when Kotite said he's the secret weapon, didn't play him in the preseason. You and I were at a sports bar watching that game against Denver in the first, and they just got blitzed. The only bright spot by that team that day was Wayne Corbett, who none of us knew.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it was just awful. Yeah, I mean, I know that there was a play in practice where Quinnen Williams got in for a sack and Rodgers kind of twisted his ankle for a second, but it was fine. But, you know, you always get that overreaction from the fan base and the overreaction from the coaching staff. Listen, we need Aaron to stand upright, but we need Aaron to have chemistry with these guys. He was fine, went to Egypt. He was fine, but he was not at the mandatory camp. He was at all the OTAs.
All the other OTAs, yep.
Yeah, but he didn't show up for that, which is kind of weird. And you see him, you know, working very closely with Garrett Wilson about, you know, telling him where he's not going in the right direction and really working with all the wide receivers, which is good. Seems like Lazard is getting his spring back in the step. And as a fourth receiver or fifth receiver, I guess it doesn't kill you. What it really comes down to is that I'm ready to see some football, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready to start seeing what's going to happen with the Jets and the rest of the league. I mean, we're not that far away. We're a little over a month away from Chiefs Ravens on that Thursday night. So be here before we know it.
All right. Moving on to the Olympics.
Absolutely.
Going on right now. So like I said, the U.S. leading the way in total medal count. Not too many golds yet. One of the big ones today was Katie Ledecky. She won her 8th gold medal, 12th overall, ties Jenny Thompson for the most in U.S. history. She won her 1500 meter, which is her event.
Yeah, she owns this event.
She broke the Olympic record tonight. She now has the top 20 times in history in the 1500.
And she won so easily. It's not even a con. And it's never close when she's in this race.
No, I mean, it felt like tonight she only won by half the length of the pool. It felt like it was closer than it should have been. Because we've seen her win by a full length.
We've
seen her, you know, with some of these other swimmers, you know, full lap behind and things like that. But I know for myself, it's been tough to really watch the Olympics. You know, they're on during the day with a 6-hour time difference. You know, of course, you've got your cell phone. If you're watching, you're picking up some of the results during the day. Then nighttime comes, and it's like, yeah, I already know who won this race. Do you find yourself the same way?
It is hard. I mean, when you hear about it, it was funny. I did not get any results yesterday. I was work at all about the women's, gymnastics gold. And I get home and I'm putting it on and my daughter gets in and she goes, "Oh, they won. Why are you watching this, Dad?" And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't get it." I said, "Listen, I knew they were going to win, but I nonetheless, it was pretty cool." And you know what? Even though I knew that they had won the bronze, I thought watching the men's gymnastics was pretty cool the other night. They had the Clark Kent kid, I'm blanking on his name, that just does the pommel horse, which is the scariest event of all time. I don't know how you specialize in that. And this kid just came out and nailed it, and they won a bronze. They hadn't won a medal in the team competition in 16 years. So very, very impressed with that. And those guys genuinely were through the moon about how awesome it was. So I thought that was really cool.
I mean, the minor events I've been watching that I are really enjoying are things like the rugby sevens. Yeah, you watch that, and it's a 7-on-7 rugby match. The games, they play 7-minute halves, and they've got these rules for added time, basically, a little different than soccer added time. But, you know, they play more than 7 minutes and a half, but that's what's on the clock. But they're such fast-moving games, and, you know, you sit there, you know, 30, 45 minutes. That's a great time to watch a little event like rugby sevens. Yeah. And it's constant action.
I catch myself kind of enjoying the water polo when it's on. Oh. I get a kick out of the team handball a little bit. I don't know how a goalie's ever supposed to make a save in that. Yeah. The indoor volleyball, obviously I enjoy the beach volleyball. It's been more male than female so far. So I'll get more into it as the Olympics go on. And the first, the swimming stuff is cool, but the first week is all swimming. The second week's all track and field. So yeah. I always enjoy the track and field stuff a lot too. So that's usually where the Americans start winning some more golds and stuff like that. Right now they have 5 golds. They have 30 medals overall. China leading the way with 9 golds. France and Japan with 8 each, and Australia with 7. The basketball, which most people probably watch, I really don't. I don't really get a kick out of it as much as I should. I thought the opening ceremony was weird. I thought it was a little bit odd. Whatever. Not going to get into any political statements.
Oh, there's plenty we could talk about, but
I'm not gonna bring it up.
What's there on this podcast? We've really tried to stay away from all that stuff. So
every now and then I say something stupid. But a couple of things I will touch on. Now, there are two male boxers fighting females in the boxing competition. You got Imana Khalif from Algeria and Lin Yuting of Taiwan. I mean, they were banned from the world championships last year, but the Olympic Committee allowed to let them fight. Some girl's going to get killed. You can't really do that. And the other one is there was a Tajikistan fighter in the judo competition who refused to shake the Israeli fighter's hand. His name was Norali Emomali, okay? And it ended up in a later fight. He dislocated his shoulder, so a little karma comes back to him as he's yelling Allah Akbar. You know, just it's Olympics. You know what? Supposed to put all that aside, shake the opponent's hand. We're not supposed to hate every Russian athlete that goes on there, every Chinese athlete. You're not supposed to hate these people. We're supposed to these are the athletes. These are not the politicians that set the parameters. The other thing I can talk about with the Olympics, Nadal got eliminated today by a couple of Americans in the tennis. So and Alcaraz got knocked out, which is kind of surprising.
I mean, especially playing with Alcaraz, I thought Nadal had a great chance of meddling there.
I thought we could have meddled. If I played with Alcaraz, I could have meddled. Yeah. I mean, I'm being honest.
On the singles for the 60th and maybe final time, Djokovic and Nadal met up. This was a second round matchup, and Joker won in straight sets there. Beat him at Roland Garros, which probably means more to Djokovic than this point.
He's been doing a lot of amazing things. His career is lasting a long, long time.
Yep.
And he's still on top of his game. I know he lost to Alcaraz in the at Wimbledon, but you know, I mean, the kid's 21 years old, and you're nearing 40. You know, you got to tip your cap sometimes. The guy just plays a great game, gets all of his first serves in. There's not much that's going to go on.
I mean, this stage to still be making semifinals and finals at the Grand Slams is still incredible.
Absolutely. Only other high point, I guess, for the week is a baseball point. Dylan Cease did throw a no-hitter for the Padres, their second ever. Which, you know, listen, he's been having a really good season. He's throwing a gem right now against the Dodgers in the sixth. So, you know, a lot of good things happening there. But outside of that, pretty quiet sports week. Anything else you want to touch on, Kev?
Yeah, it's flipping around. And on Fox Saturday was Fox Day of the Races here up in Saratoga.
Yep.
And Saturday was the Jim Dandy. And a couple of horses. It was only a six-horse race. Sierra Leone went off as a 4-5 favorite. Fierceness, second choice at 9-5. Seize the Gray, who won the Preakness, was in there. And Fierceness.
Great field. Too.
And Batten Down, Amat and Alvarado combination. So there's a good quality in there. And Fierceness was able to hold off Sierra Leone down the stretch. And win the Jim Dandy. This is probably the major prep race for the Travers coming up in late August.
Absolutely.
You know Darren and I will be watching.
Absolutely. I thought Four Star Dave was still running in those races, but he's been out for a while. If you don't know Four Star Dave, he was a horse that won every year at Saratoga. I think it was like, 8 years in a row? He kept winning up till he was 11.
Yep.
I think he won up till he was 12. Yep. You know, it just one of those great horses. But Kevin and I appreciate the sport of kings. We love horse racing. And we'll always talk about it when we see something great, which is pretty awesome.
Yep.
Anything else before we wrap it up, my friend?
That's all I've got.
Yeah, I don't have much either. Listen, great trade deadline. I think the Mets have fortified what they needed to fortify in the bullpen. Added an extra arm in the rotation. Hopefully it helps them. Think that the Yankees got Jazz Chisholm. I agree with Gino. I would have liked to have a closer. I wasn't as big on the first baseman. I didn't think it was that necessary, but I understand where he's coming from. So, you know, a lot of exciting things going on in the baseball world. Football coming up, college football right around the corner. Another week of the Olympics to talk about. So we got a lot more coming up in the next couple of weeks. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Kevin. Gino live at the Aquatic Center earlier today. Talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world of sports where we can't understand what's going on in the opening ceremonies of an Olympics that's supposed to bring us all together. But story for another day. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever you like. We share stuff on social. We talked about the trades the Yankees and Mets made. Please comment on them. Share them. Tell us what you think. Tell us if you like the moves, don't like the moves, all that other stuff. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.